This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We actually should the rest of the service just glorify your name, Father, for who you are. You are such an awesome Father. You love us. You want to speak to us this afternoon about that love, Father. That love what you've got for us. That love what we've got to have for you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we can understand it and that there's nothing which is going to distract our mind. So I bind the powers of the enemy that they're not going to distract us. That we can hear what you want to share with us this afternoon, Father. That we can understand it and that we can take it home. That it can strengthen our relationship with you. Thank you, Father, that we can have a relationship with you, a love relationship. To you all the glory and to you all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. When I'm praying in my inner room, that's mean my inner room, Renee is not there, then I always start with addressing the Father, say, Heavenly Father. But for one reason or the other, my second sentence, my second part is always, I love you. I don't know why it is. I don't know where it is actually coming from. But it's there. And what we've been singing just now as well, that the King of Kings, that we can call ourselves own, that we are owned by the King of Kings, that we are belonging to God. That we can say, I love you to God, the Creator of heaven and earth. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that we can say to him, I love you. Before I was baptized in 2009, it was difficult for me because I saw God as something very high, very long distance. In nowadays terms, you maybe would say, okay, you're sending an SMS or a WhatsApp or another type of message, and it's far. But once I was baptized, and when the heart-to-heart relationship with God started, I could start speaking to him. I could feel his presence, and I could say, I love you. Is it wrong? Is it maybe a little bit arrogant that I say, well, I'm saying to the Creator of heaven and earth, my Father, I love you? Sounds a little bit arrogant. No, I don't think it is arrogant. I think it's necessary. It's a necessity that we're doing that. That we are telling the Creator of heaven and earth, that we are telling God the Father that we love him. Because it's a relationship what we've got. It's a love relationship what we've got, what I've got with God. The relationships what we've got on this earth between husband and wife, it's also a love relationship. And I will say to Renee, I love you. And she will reply back to me, I respect you. According to Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular to love his own wife as himself. Specifically say his own wife, not somebody else's wife, but his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. So when I'm saying to Renee, I love you, she says, I respect you. And if you're married over here, I'm going to challenge you now. Husband, say to your wife, I love you. Wife, say back to your husband, I respect you. And God not only loves me, God loves everyone, each and every one. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world, so he loves each and every one. It's not excluding certain people in certain countries or nothing. Each and every one in the whole world, God loves us. The word what has been used over here is agape, but we'll get to the different meanings of it. We'll get to it just a little bit later. But there's a difference between that, I nearly want to say, that divine love, that the agape love, what we've got between us and God, and what the people has got in the world. Because if love in the world is about feelings, it's about what the people feel for each other, it's about flowers, it's about dinners, it's about getting married, it's about the Hollywood love, if I can put it that way. And even sometimes the people are abusing that by saying, I love you. But a husband will say to the wife, I love you. Can you make me a cup of coffee? Or the other way around. But the relationship between God and us is totally different. Because God is love. And loving God is knowing God. 1 John 4, verses 7 to 8 says to us, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. He's the source of love. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is equal to love. And in the word over here, what has been used for love is the agape. And the agape is a divine love. That's the highest, I should say, grade of love what you can get. There are four types. It's the agape, the eros, the storge, and the philia or the filial love. But the agape love is the highest one. It's about God's immeasurable, incomparable love for humankind. It's a divine love. It's perfect. It's unconditional. It's sacrificial, and it's pure. That's the love what God has got. And if we read in the Bible, it's so many times that we see the word love, but we actually have got to go back into the original, the Greek or the Hebrew, and have a look and say, but which love is God talking about? The ones what I've got this afternoon, if I'm quoting verses, I've put it, if there's an agape or a filial, so that you can see what type of love is actually spoken about. But an agape love is the perfect, the unconditional. Unconditional in that way that God is giving it to everyone, for God so loved the world. But we're not going to experience God's love if we're not going to accept it. So there is a condition attached to it. If you want to experience God's love, then you've got to accept it. So agape is the perfect, the unconditional, the sacrificial, and the pure. Sacrificial as well. It's costing you something. You've got to give yourself. The eros love, you can see in the word, that's typically the sensual or the romantic love. Then a storge love, which is between the parents and the children, but it's also between the brothers and the sister. So we can call it a family love. And the philia or the filial love is the love which we've got between the Christians, what they are practicing towards each other. And it also can be seen as a deep friendship. If you've got a deep friendship with somebody else, then you can say, I love him. But then you're referring them to the philia or the filial love. God loves us, but he said not sending us flowers. God is not taking us for a dinner. Or he's not waking you up in the morning with a cup of coffee. No, that's not what God is doing. God demonstrated his love in a very strange way, by Jesus at the cross. Romans 5 verses 8. But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Very strange. If I want to show love to Renee, I'm not good with buying flowers, but I'll make her breakfast. I'll make her a cup of coffee. I'll do whatever she's looking for. That's how I show my love for her. God showed his love through Jesus at the cross. Very strange to understand. Very difficult sometimes to explain to people. But this is how God is showing that he is loving us. And with that, immediately we can see this is serious what God is talking about. His son died for us at the cross. By that, he showed that he loved us. It's a biblical command to love. When a scribe was speaking to Jesus and asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Then Jesus replied. And if we're talking about it, that it is a commandment, it's something what we've got to do. It has got to do with our will. It hasn't got to do anything with our feelings. So in the world, love is feelings. But if we're talking about God, then the commandment, it's about the will. Are we prepared to love God or not? Jesus replied to the scribe in Mark 12, verses 29. Jesus answered him, the scribe then, "The first of all the commandments is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." God is first, nothing else. Not your car, not your degree which you've got in front of it, the back of your name, whatever your degree you've got. Nothing like that. Not the house which you've got, not the car which you've got, nothing like that. God is first. God is, again, the agape word. Your neighbor is yourself. And there's no other commandment greater than these. This is the most important thing, that we should love God with our heart. The heart, in our heart, we basically have got the core. We've got that, what is for us most important. And that has got to be God. God has got to be first over there. So we've got to love him with that, with our heart. So he has got to be number one in our lives. With our soul, that is our emotions. And that our identity is going to be completely one with Christ. It's also our mind. If we take a look at this verse, what Jesus is quoting over there is coming out of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy, the word mind is not in there. But the word mind is including the will. We can decide what are we going to do. This is how God created us. This is why Adam and Eve could take that decision. But we also can take that decision. The mind is included in it. We've got to make that change of mind. We've got to renew our mind that God is first and that he will be, that we will be loving him. And also that we've got to love God with our soul, with our emotions, and then with our strength. Whatever we've got, best energies, that we give it to God, that we put God first. And it is that if we're loving God, then we sometimes have got to make choices which are not that nice. That we've got to make choices that we say we don't want to be in that certain place because we feel that's an ungodly place. And it's maybe costing us a little bit. It's maybe uncomfortable. But we've got to make those type of decisions. If we take this verse from 29 and 31, we actually can put it in a picture, and that would be the picture of the cross. And the vertical one is the relationship with God, which is first. And then the relationship with other people is the horizontal one. We cannot have only the horizontal one. If we've got to do the horizontal one, love the people around us, based on how good we are, then at a certain time our arms are going to drop it because we cannot hold it anymore. But if we can hook it on the love of God for us, then it's so much easier to do what God is asking us, that we should love him. Jesus was in a conversation with Simon Peter, and then he also used the word love. And he used two different words, the filio or the filial word, and he used the agape love. And it's interesting to see how Jesus is actually playing with it, because he's in a conversation with Peter now. It was after Jesus was resurrected. It is in John 21, which is the last chapter of John. And he already visited the disciples three times, but now he's speaking to Simon Peter. Some people said it is, as Jesus is asking him, "Do you love me?" that he was asking him three times, so that it's actually canceling three times what Peter denied Jesus, so that it is canceling it, that he is restoring Peter. I would see it a little bit different. I would say, and I haven't actually seen it written down in any of the comments, but it doesn't matter. Jesus was restoring Peter again. He was putting Peter on the right place, on the same place again. Because where did it happen? More or less the same circumstances where he met Peter for the first time and said to him, "Follow me." So knowingly or unknowingly, Jesus spoke to him exactly the same situation over there. He brought him actually back to the same thing. And you can say, okay, Jesus is basically asking him, you denied me 3 times. I'm back again at the beginning. Do you love me? Are you really sure that you love me and that you want to follow me? And Jesus is asking him in John 21:15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Do you agape me? Do you love me more than these? Now, where is Jesus referring to these disciples? I think Jesus is referring to the boat, the fish, the people around him. This is where Peter felt comfortable in. Do you love me more than these? Because just before that, Peter said, I'm going fishing. Who's going along with me? And then of those disciples, they went along with him. And Jesus is asking him now, and I think Jesus is asking him, do you love me more as the circumstances around you, your boat, the people? And keep in mind as well that they're more or less at the same circumstances as what they were before when Jesus called them for the first time. And this is a very straight question. Do you love me? Are you prepared to sacrifice yourself for me? This is what Jesus is asking him. Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But he's not using the same word love. He's using the filio, the friendship. Jesus is our friend. Yes, it's totally correct what he's doing. But he's not replying actually to the question. He's giving another answer as what Jesus is asking over there. But Jesus says to him, feed my lambs. And then he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you agape me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Again, he uses the same word, filio. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. And then Jesus comes back with the third time. In these verses, we see 3 times that Jesus is asking a question. 3 times that Peter is answering. And 3 times Jesus is giving him a commission. He's giving him an instruction. Walking with Jesus for 3 years plus, he knew that Jesus knew everything. He knew that Jesus knew everything about him. So I think it must have been irritating sometimes as well for the disciples that Jesus is asking questions, but they knew beforehand Jesus knew the answer. So why are you asking that question? Lord, you know all things. It's the same with us. When God is asking a question, God knows already what we're going to answer. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Jesus is not condemning Peter. He's not going to Peter and says, Peter, I just want to talk about you that one evening. 3 times you denied me. Can we just talk about it? Because we first have got to sort it out, because you cannot carry on with bringing the gospel and what he didn't know yet, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that sermon, that it was Peter who had the first sermon over there. Peter didn't know it yet, but Jesus knew. So Jesus is not condemning him, but Jesus is asking him questions. And Jesus is very good in asking questions. Do you love me? And Jesus only talks about love. God is asking us the same question. Do you love me? And then we also have got to answer. And then most of us will say, yes, I love you. But if God is asking us the question, do you love me? Then God is using the word agape. Then God is asking us, are you prepared to sacrifice yourself for me? Are you prepared to give yourself for me, for my kingdom? And then we've got to answer. And if we say, yes, Lord, I love you, and if we say, yes, Lord, I agape you, then it means that we say, Lord, I give myself to you. But we can't do it on our own. 1 Corinthians 13, which is talking about love, is showing it to us that we cannot do it on our own, because we cannot go on our own and say, okay, I don't need the love of God, I can do it on my own. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but I haven't got love, the agape love, I become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. If I'm not prepared to give myself for God's kingdom, it doesn't mean anything. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and Paul said that prophecy is the highest gift, a gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and I don't know if you ever removed mountains, but if you do move mountains, and it's without love, you know, maybe somebody will say, okay, somebody moved already all the mountains in the Netherlands, there are no mountains left anymore. No, there have never been any mountains in the Netherlands. But it's spiritual. If you could remove mountains, but not love, agape, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I'm prepared to give my body. But I've got no love, I've got no agape love for God. It profits me nothing. It's such an important part of the love relationship that we've got with God, that agape, that we are prepared to give ourselves, to sacrifice ourselves for God. In the verses what I just now mentioned in Corinthians, King James has translated the word love with charity. But if we go back to the original Greek, then you can see that it's continuously talking about the agape. And God is asking us today, do you love me? Do you agape me? And our answer has got to be, yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I agape you. I'm prepared to give myself for you. Jesus was asking it for Peter, and he's asking it for us. And God is asking it for us. We're not going to be perfect. We heard it last week as well, that we are in a sanctification process. We are in a process of becoming more holier and holier. We can see it with Peter. We're not a church where you can just come and sit on a Sunday. We're a church where we would like to prepare you. Because Jesus is giving 3 commissions. He's giving 3 instructions to Peter. And those instructions is exactly the same for us. Feed my lamb. Tend my sheep. And keep my sheep. The instruction that he gave to Peter is also applicable for us. The sheep all around us. And we've got to make sure that we're doing what God is telling us to do. That we tend, that we feed, tend, and keep his sheep. And we can't do it on our own. And we actually can be glad that we don't have to do it on our own. We've got to rely on God. Through God's grace and God's mercy, we can only do certain things. And we can only be used by God. And God is not far away. Like I said in the beginning, that God is far on a distance and we only meet him once a week here in church. No, God is with us through the Holy Spirit, because he has put the Holy Spirit in us. 1 John 4, verses 12 to 13. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. Well, if you take a look at the book of John, if John is talking about love, then it is agape love. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. And by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. And God has given us that Spirit, which is such a relief actually for us, that we don't have to do it on our own. God is giving us the instruction and he's saying that he is helping us. The same as what you've got to write an exam. He's giving you the exam paper, but he's going to sit next to you and helping you to complete the exam paper. God is there to help us. Or he's giving you a task at work And God is going to sit next to you and he's going to help you. And it's the same with what God is doing over here. He's telling us that he's loving us. He's telling us what we've got to do. But he's also giving us the Holy Spirit to help us to do what we've got to do. The law of God is love. God is asking us, do you love me? And we can reply in our inner room and say, yes, God, I love you. That we can have that love relationship with God, which is so crucial and which is so necessary. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your sacrificial love. We thank you that you showed your love through Jesus Christ who died for us at the cross. We thank you for your love when Jesus went back, when you sent the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. And we thank you, Father, for that love. For that sacrificial love, what you're showing to us. Sometimes difficult for us to understand it and to go that way. And we maybe sometimes want to run away from because it sounds too much. But Lord, then you're showing us again that Jesus is coming down to Peter and he's helping Peter. Jesus came down to us and he died for our sins to help us. And Jesus is also through the Holy Spirit coming down to us to help each and every one of us with the task that you're giving to us. When we've got to feed the sheep, when we've got to tend the sheep, and when we've got to keep the sheep. Thank you, Father, for that. And as all eyes are closed at the moment, if you hear this afternoon and you say, I've never reacted to that question of God. I've never reacted to that invitation of God where God said, do you want to be my child? Because I love you. Because I've never made that decision in my life. I've never publicly declared that I've got a relationship, a love relationship with God. And if you feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring you this afternoon, that you feel, this afternoon I've got to start that relationship with God. This afternoon is my time, but I've got to raise my hand, but I've got to say, God, here I am. I want to start that relationship, that love relationship with you. I want to reply to your invitation and say, Lord, I love you. If there's one of you who is over here in this room or maybe watching at the moment and you feel that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, that you've got to make that decision to start a relationship with God, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and to invite the Holy Spirit into your life as a helper. And I'm asking you to raise your hand. And if you may be following on the screen and you want to make that decision, then I'm asking you to make contact with me after the sermon. Father, I also feel that there are people over here who are exactly the same position as Peter. You spoke to them. You invited them to follow you. They followed you. But at a certain time, they denied you. They said they didn't know you. They didn't want to go any longer with you. They wanted to go their own way. But this afternoon, you approached them again. You looked them in the face. You looked them in the eyes. And you say, do you want to follow me? Do you love me? And it's the same with Peter. Assignment which God already gave to you, of which you walked away, or which you denied like Peter did, and you feel God is speaking to you this afternoon, and you've got to commit yourself again to that initial instruction what God has given you to you, and I'm asking you to raise your hand that we can pray for you. Father, I'm not sure if there are any people who are watching at the moment or maybe listening afterwards that they've got such a situation. And I pray, Lord, that they will reply, that they will say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to feed your sheep. I want to tend to your sheep. I want to keep your sheep. Use me, Lord, for your kingdom. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that you love us. And at any time of the day, that we can just become quiet, that we can say, I love you, Lord, because we've got that relationship with you. We thank you for that, Father. To you all the glory and to you all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.